Welcome to Zichur Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Zecher Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Tes. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Mem Ches Amud Bey stated that a person may count his guests and desserts orally, but not from a written note. The Gemara brings Malchokas Amarayim as to the reason. Rabbi says, Gezer Shema Yimchok. It's a derabbanan that was enacted, lest one erase something from the list. Rashi explains that the host might see that he didn't prepare enough food for all of his guests, and he'll delete some guests from his list so that his servant won't invite them. It's a derabbanan because midraisa one has only transgressed the malach of mochek of erasing if it's to make space for writing. Abaya says, Gezer Shema Yikra B'shtari Hediotos. It's a derabbanan that was enacted lest one read from common documents, which Rashi understands as business-related documents. Point number two is Tanna writes that one is forbidden from reading on Shabbos the captions under a picture or artwork such as scenes of David fighting Goliath. Rashi explains that reading from them on Shabbos is prohibited because one may come to read from Shtari Hediotos. The Braisa continues and prohibits gazing at artwork even during the week. As it's stated in the Pasuk, Al Tifnu El Elilim, do not turn to idols. Rabbi Chanin interprets the Pasuk to mean, Al Tifnu El Medaitachem, do not turn to that which comes from your minds. Rashi explains that the word Elilim is related to the word Chalalim, recesses, referring to the recesses of one's mind. The Rishonim debate whether this prohibition applies only to gazing at items designated for Avodah Zorah, even if they have not yet been worshipped, or it's a broader application to art in general. And point number three, Rabbi Yaakov Reida Bas Yaakov said, Kol shechavero nenash al yado, anyone whose friend was punished on his account, ein machnisin oso b'mechitzaso shel Kadosh Baruch Hu, is not admitted into the enclosure of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. In seeking the source for Rabbi Yaakov's statement, the Gemara mentions an incident involving Zedekiah and Nebuchadnezzar, suggesting that Zedekiah was responsible for Nebuchadnezzar's punishment. The Gemara rejects his premise in part because Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav that Zedekiah was righteous and a helpless victim who Hashem protected when Nebuchadnezzar sought to do a disgraceful deed to him. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Mishnah on Daf Kuf Mem Ches Amud Bey stated that a person may count his guests and desserts orally, but not from a written note. The Gemara brings Machlokas Amarayim as to the reason. Rabbi says, Gezer Shema Yimchok. It's a derabbanan that was enacted lest one erase something from the list. Rashi explains that the host might see that he didn't prepare enough food for all of his guests, and he'll delete some guests from his list so that his servant won't invite them. It's a derabbanan because of midraisa one has only transgressed the malach mochek of erasing if it's to make space for writing. Abaya says, Gezer Shema Yikra B'shtari Hediotos. It's a derabbanan that was enacted lest one read from common documents, which Rashi understands as business-related documents. Point number two is Tanna Braisa, that one is forbidden from reading on Shabbos the captions under a picture or artwork such as scenes of David fighting Goliath. Rashi explains that reading from them on Shabbos is prohibited because one may come to read from Shtari Hediotos. The Braisa continues and prohibits gazing at artwork even during the week, as it stated in the Pasuk, Al Tifnu El Elilim, do not turn to idols. Rabbi Chanin interprets the Pasuk to mean, Al Tifnu El Medaitachem, do not turn to that which comes from your minds. Rashi explains that the word Elilim is related to the word chalalim, recesses, referring to the recesses of one's mind. The Rishonim debate whether the prohibition applies to gazing at items designated for Avodah Zorah, even if they have not yet been worshipped, or it's a broader application to art in general. And point number three, Rabbi Yaakov Breida Bas Yaakov said, Kol shechavero nenash al yado, anyone whose friend was punished on his account, ein machnisin oso b'mechitzaso shel Kadosh Baruch Hu, is not admitted into the enclosure of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. In seeking the source of Rabbi Yaakov's statement, the Gemara mentions an incident involving Zedekiah and Nebuchadnezzar, suggesting that Zedekiah was responsible for Nebuchadnezzar's punishment. The Gemara rejects this premise in part because Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav that Zedekiah was righteous and a helpless victim who Hashem protected when Nebuchadnezzar sought to do a disgraceful deed to him. All right, so now we go to our Simfer Kuf Mem Tes, and in this case it was pretty simple. We're going to go with the popular suggestion of a comet. So the comet is going to be a simen for Kuf Mem Tes. So here goes. The astronomer reviewing the guest list for his upcoming comet-gazing party decided to disinvite the artist who was going to paint the starry night when he found out he did the portrait for an evil emperor. Once again, in slow motion. The astronomer reviewing the guest list for his upcoming comet-gazing party, comet-gazing, that must be more duff, Kuf Mem Tes. The astronomer reviewing the guest list for his upcoming comet-gazing party, which reminds us, the Mishnah Duff Kuf Mem Ches Amud Bey stated that a person may count his guests and desserts orally, but not from a written note. The Gemara brings the Malchokas Marayim as to the reason. Rabbi says, Gezer Shema Yimchok. It's a derabbanan that was enacted, lest one erase something from the list. Rashi explains that the host might see that he didn't prepare enough food for all his guests, and he'll delete some guests from his list so that his servant will not invite them. It's a derabbanan because midiraisa, one has only transgressed the malacha mochek of erasing if it's to make space for writing. Abaye says gezer shema yikra b'shtari hediotos. It's the derabbanan that was enacted lest one read from common documents, which Rashi understands as business-related documents. So the astronomer reviewing the guest list for his upcoming comet-gazing party decided to disinvite the artist who was going to paint the starry night, which reminds us it was taught in a braisa that one's forbidden from reading on Shabbos the captions under a picture or artwork such as scenes of David fighting Goliath. Rashi explains that reading from them on Shabbos is prohibited because one may come to read from starry hediotos. The braisa continues and prohibits gazing at artwork even during the week, as it stated in the pasuk, Al tifnu el halilim, do not turn to idols. Rabbi Chanan interprets the pasuk to mean, Al tifnu el medaitchem, do not turn to that which comes from your minds. Rashi explains that the word elilim is related to the word chalolim, recesses, referring to the recesses of one's mind. The Rishonim debate whether this prohibition applies only to gazing at items designated for avodah zorah, even if they haven't been worshipped, or it's a broader application to art in general. So the astronomer reviewing the guest list for his upcoming comet-gazing party decided to disinvite the artist who was going to paint the starry night when he found out he did the portrait for an evil emperor. Which reminds Rabbi Yaakov Breda Bas Yaakov said, Kosh chaver onena shal yado, anyone whose friend was punished on his account, ein machnisin oso b'mechitzaso shel Kodesh Baruch Hu, is not admitted into the enclosure of Kodesh Baruch Hu. In seeking the source of Rabbi Yaakov's statement, the Gemara mentions an incident involving Sitkiah and Nebuchadnezzar, suggesting that Sitkiah was responsible for Nebuchadnezzar's punishment. The Gemara rejects his premise in part because Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav that Sitkiah was righteous and a helpless victim, which Hashem protected when Nebuchadnezzar sought to do a disgraceful deed to him. So once again, the astronomer reviewing the guest list for his upcoming comet-gazing party decided to disinvite the artist who was going to paint the starry night when he found out he did the portrait for an evil emperor. Now it's time for Forbla Bach Hazora. Daf Kuf Mem Hei. So the symbol Kuf Mem Hei is a wheat field based on Kama standing grain. So the outlaw is illegally extracting juice from pickled vegetables in the middle of the wheat field. Wheat field, that must mean run Daf Kuf Mem Hei. The outlaw is illegally extracting juice from pickled vegetables in the middle of the wheat field, which reminds us, the Gemara brings Malchokas Marayim regarding squeezing pickled vegetables. Rav and Shmuel hold that the Malacha Mefarik, extracting, only applies to liquids that originally grew within the food. Therefore, squeezing pickled vegetables to get the liquid is only forbidden to do midrabban, lest one comes to squeeze olives and grapes. The Yochanan holds that one is liable for extracting a beverage even if it didn't originally come into existence within the fruit. Therefore, he says one would be chayav achatas for a mefarik if one squeezed pickled vegetables for their liquid. As part of this discussion, there's an additional machlokas between Rav Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan regarding squeezing boiled vegetables. So the outlaws illegally extracting juice from pickled vegetables in the middle of the wheat field were convicted based on secondhand testimony, which reminds us it was taught in a brace regarding testimony, ein eid mefi eid kasher, ela eid as isha bavad, a single witness that acquired his information from the mouth of a second single witness is not valid except with regard to testifying to the marital status of a woman. Ravasi says that a single secondhand witness is also permitted to testify that a blemish in the Bechor developed on its own and was not inflicted by a Kohen who sought to make the meat permissible to consume. The Gemara asks that the above Brisa states that a single secondhand witness may only testify about the status of a married woman. So the Brisa was amended to read, La'edisha isha kasher ola bavad, except for testimony that a woman is also permitted to make, meaning that an eid mefi eid may testify about any situation that a woman is permitted to testify about, and a woman is allowed to testify about a bechor. So the outlaws illegally extracting juice from pickled vegetables in the middle of the wheat field were convicted based on secondhand testimony from a finely dressed scholar from the land of fatter birds. Which reminds us, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba asked Rabbi Asi questions, and Rabbi Asi answered them while Rabbi Yochanan was dozing. Rabbi Yochanan awoke, he rejected the answers given and provided his own. He explained, the birds in Bavo are fatter than those in Eretz Yisrael because the birds there were never exiled. The Moadim in Bavo are more joyous for the community in Bavel because they were not included in a curse to those living in Eretz Yisrael about diminished simcha on the holidays. The Talmidei Chachamim of Bavel adorn themselves in fine clothing because they're not native to the locale and therefore distinguish themselves in dress. And the reason that Ovdei Chachamim are impure is that they did not stand at Har Sinai to accept the Torah. For when Klai Yisrael stood at Har Sinai, the impurity that the Nachash cast into Chava was removed. Daf Kuf Mem Vav. So the symbol Kuf Mem Vav is a kimono. So here goes. The samurai warrior in his kimono garb, kimono, that must be one Daf Kuf Mem Vav. The samurai warrior in his kimono garb took his razor-sharp fig-cutting sword, which reminds us the next mission of Peric states that one may use a sword to break open a barrel to eat dried figs from it, provided that he does not intend to make a vessel through creating a proper hole in the barrel. Rashi explains that breaking open the barrel without any intention to make it into a vessel is an act of mekalkel, destruction, which is permitted on Shabbos. Now, the Gemara clarifies that the Mishnah only permits breaking the barrel for pressed figs, not loose figs. This, says the Gemara, goes according to Rabbi Nechemiah, who holds, Ein kli nito ela tashmishim yuchla. A utensil is only permitted to be moved if one is moving it to use for its specialized purpose. Rashi explains that since the person requires the sword to separate the pressed figs, it's permitted to use the sword to open the barrel as well. If the figs in the barrel are loose, however, then the sword is not required for its usual purpose, meaning to cut the figs apart, and therefore it's prohibited to move. So the samurai warrior in his kimono garb took his razor-sharp fig-cutting sword and poked a two-way hole in the smelly chicken coop, which reminds us, Rabbi said, Dvar Torah kol pesach she'enu asu hachnis lahotzi eno pesach. As a matter of Torah law, any opening that is not made for the purpose of bringing things in and taking things out is not deemed a true opening, and therefore one is not liable for its creation. The Rabban, however, prohibited even one-way openings because of the case of chicken coops. The purpose of a hole in a chicken coop is to both allow air to enter and also to let lethal vapors escape. Now, since many people are not aware of the second reason, they'll think that the hole is only in order to let air enter, and they'll conclude that it's permitted to make a hole in the chicken coop. Therefore, the Rabban prohibited even one-way openings. So the samurai warrior in his kimono garb took his razor-sharp fig-cutting sword and poked a two-way hole in the smelly chicken coop, perched on top of the cask of wine with the flimsy plug. Which reminds us, it was stated in the Brayza that all agree that it's permissible to reopen an old hole in a cask. Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishmul that this Brayza was referring only to holes that were plugged in a place where it was meant l'shamer, to preserve the aroma of the wine, but not in a place l'chazek, where it was meant to strengthen the cask. Rashi explains that since a plug used to keep the vapors from escaping was quite flimsy, the cask remains with the status of a perforated vessel. Reopening the vessel is therefore permissible. This is in contrast to a plug used to ensure that the wine does not flow out. Since this plug creates a complete seal, it erases from a halachic standpoint the existence of the perforation. Removing the seal is therefore forbidden as it's tantamount to creating a new opening. Daf Kuf Mem Zayin. So the simple Kuf Mem Zayin is a kumzitz. So here goes. The kumzitz, that must mean run Daf Kuf Mem Zayin. The kumzitz got off to a rocky start when a bacher started shaking the dust off his new garment, which reminds us, Rav Huna said, one who shakes his cloak on Shabbos to clean it is liable to chattas. Rashi explains that he's shaking dust off of it, which is a tolda of the malachim melabein, of laundering. The Gemara qualifies this ruling that it only applies to garments that the owner is particular about wearing without shaking off the dust, such as new garments and black garments. If the owner is not particular about shaking the dust off these garments as well, he would not be liable to chattas if he did shake them off. So the kumzitz got off to a rocky start when a bacher started shaking the dust off his new garment onto 10 bachrim who just dried themselves off with one towel, which reminds the next Mishnah states that if one bathed in cave water or in the Chamit Tveria and dried himself with even 10 towels, lo yivim biyado, he may not carry them, the towels, home in his hand, whereas 10 people may dry themselves with one towel drying their faces, hands, and feet, mevinos biyado, and they may carry the towel home in their hands. The Gemara explains that the first part of the Mishnah is teaching the novelty that even though one person dried himself with 10 towels, and it's presumed that the towels have very little water in them, he's not allowed to bring them home, came the chadhu asiyu deischita. Since he's one person, he may forget and come to squeeze water out of the towels. The second part of the Mishnah is coming to teach that the novelty that even though one towel can be resumed to be saturated with water from 10 people using it, they can still bring it home, came to rabim ninu madukhri hadadi. Since there are many, they'll come to remind each other not to squeeze it. Rav Yosef stated that Lach is not like our Mishnah, but rather one person is allowed to bring a towel home with them, and he mentioned four Rabbanan that support this view. So the kumzitz got off to a rocky start when a bacher started shaking the dust off his new garment onto 10 bachrim who just dried themselves off with one towel, and then the rough man out of town forgot his Dvar Torah. Which reminds us, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach once came to the region Pugisa de Yomsis and became attracted to the worldly pleasures there and forgot his Torah learning. The Midrash in Kohel's Rabbah relates that he went to the area after the death of Rabbi Yochim and Zakkai, when the other Talmidim went and reestablished the academy in Yavne. When Elazar ben Arach returned and read from the Torah, instead of reading, HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem, this month shall be for you, he read, HaCher Shayel Gibam, was their heart silent? The Rabban davened for him, and his Torah knowledge returned. This incident illustrates what's learned in the Mishnah. Rabbi Nahore Omer, Hevi Golo Makm Torah, Baal Tomar Shehitavu Acharecha, exile yourself to a place of Torah, and do not presume the Torah will follow after you. Shechaberecha Yekamohu B'yadcha, for it's your colleagues who will cause it to remain with you. Rashi explains that while he's learning one Masechta, his Chaver will be learning a Masechta that he'd already learned, and through discussion he'll refresh his memory. The mission concludes, Vel Binascha Al Tisha'ein, and do not rely on your own understanding. Rashi explains that one should not say that he will not forget his learning. Daf Kuf Mem Ches. So the simple Kuf Mem Ches is Kemach flour. So here goes. The baker covered in flour. Flour, that must be more in Daf Kuf Mem Ches. The baker covered in flour who borrowed pitchers of oil on Shabbos, saying, Hashileni. Which reminds us, the opening mission on the 23rd parak states that one may borrow pitchers of wine or pitchers of oil from his friend on Shabbos, provided that he does not say to him, Halveni, lend me. This implies that one can borrow the items using the different expression of Hashileni. Rabbi Bar Rav Chanan asked Abai what the difference is between these two expressions. Abai responded that if the borrower says Hashileni, the lender will not come to write down the loan because this term signifies a loan of objects, which is usually short-term. The term Halveni, on the other hand, denotes a long-term loan of money, and the lender might come to write it down. Rashi explains that Halveni refers to a loan of 3 days unless specified otherwise, and the lender will write down so as not to forget about it. So the baker covered in flour who borrowed pitchers of oil on Shabbos saying Hashileni didn't rebuke his guests who were dancing and clapping, which reminds us, Rabbi Bar Rav Chanan asked Abai why we don't rebuke people that we see clapping their hands, beating their chests, or dancing when it's taught explicitly in the Mishnah that these activities are forbidden on Shabbos. Rashi states that dancing might lead to fixing a broken musical instrument, which would be the malach of Magen B'Patish. Abai answered that since people continue to do so even if they're rebuked, Mutav shiyu shogegin v'ayu mezidin. It's preferable that they sin unintentionally rather than deliberately. The Gemara clarifies that this principle applies equally to a deraisa. For although one is required to extend the fast of Yom Kippur by starting earlier on the 9th, we see that people eat and drink right up until it gets dark, and we don't rebuke them. So the baker covered in flour who poured pitchers of oil on Shabbos saying, Hashileni, didn't rebuke his guests who were dancing and clapping because they were already going to court for a loan they took on Yantav. Which reminds us, there's a machlokas marayim whether a permissible loan made on Yantav is reclaimable in court. Rav Yosef said, well, nitnali taba, it's not reclaimable in court. And Rabbi said, nitnali taba, it is reclaimable in court. The Gemara explains that according to Rav Yosef, the reason that it's not reclaimable in court is that if it were reclaimable, the lender might come to write a record of the loan in Yantav. If it's not reclaimable, then there's no point in writing it down since you can only rely on the borrower's word. The reason the Rabbi says that the loan is reclaimable in court is that if it's not reclaimable, then the lender will refrain from lending and the borrower will be prevented from Simchas Yantav if he's unable to borrow money and attain provisions. All right, so now we conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Masechus Brachos number 1. Which stuff do you learn that causing another to be punished will result in not being permitted within Hashem's Mechitzos? That's on Daf. Kuf Mem Tes. Good number 2. Which stuff do we learn that an owner is mafkir that which oozes from olives and grapes and baskets since it usually seeps through in his loss? That's on Daf. Kuf Mem Dal. Good number 3. Which stuff do you learn Adis Aid Mephi Aid secondary testimony is valid? That's on Daf. Kuf Mem Hey. Good number 4. Which stuff do you learn that one should exile himself to a Makom Torah so he doesn't forget his learning? That's on Daf. Kuf Mem Zayin. Good number 5. Which stuff do we have a machlokas if permissible loans on Yantav are reclaimable in court? That's on Daf. Kuf Mem Ches. Good number 6. Which stuff do we learn Rabbi Yochanan's answers regarding why things are different in Bavel and also the impurity of Ovdei Kochavim? That's on Daf. Kuf Mem Hey. Good number 7. Which stuff do we learn about the prohibition of gazing at certain pictures? That's on Daf. Kuf Mem Tes. Good number 8. Which stuff do you learn that one can borrow certain items on Shabbos if he says Hashileni? That's on Daf. Kuf Mem Ches. Good number 9. Which stuff do you have a machlokas? How to remove bones and husks from a table on Shabbos? That's on Daf. Kuf Mem Gimel. Good. And number 10. Which stuff do we have a machlokas? Why it's forbidden to count guests from a written note? Shabbos. That's on Daf. Kuf Mem Tes. Good. Now 3 bonus questions on Masechus Brachos number 1. Which stuff do you learn that the neshama is like a Kadosh Baruch Hu in 5 ways? That's on Daf. Yud. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we have a machlokas if the dead are aware of what's happening in Olam Hazeh? That's on Daf. Yud Ches. Good. And finally, question number 3. Which stuff do we learn that Talmidei Chachamim bring Shalom to the world? That's on Daf. Samach Dod. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.